Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the third week of our series called The Pack, and this week Pastor Josh Finkley explains the importance of fighting like a wolf. Enjoy the message!
Well, Rock Church, I want to welcome you guys here today, those of you in Conway, but also those of you at Coastal, and glad that everybody's with us. And as we start, I want to start by asking you a question, okay? And when you think about this question, you don't have to answer it out loud or anything, but I want you to mentally go there, that I want you to answer this question: what is it that you have found that is worth fighting for? What have you found that is worth fighting for? Now I say it that way because I could have asked the question, have you found anything worth fighting for? And maybe some of you here, you haven't found anything worth fighting for. And well, I want to help change that today as well. But most of us, my guess is probably 99% of us, something came into our mind that we'd say, this is worth fighting for. Maybe the thing that you'd say is worth fighting for is the person to your right or to your left, right? Like hopefully, if you're sitting next to somebody and you're like, nope, not worth it. Well, you might have a bad day. You know what I mean? So hopefully the person to the right or left of you, chances are that might be a mom, it might be a dad, it might be your husband or your wife or your child, might be somebody you're dating, whatever it might be. Maybe it's a good friend, because a good friend is worth fighting for as well. Like, it doesn't have to be somebody with the same blood. It could be somebody who's like, yeah, this is a friend of mine, and they are worth fighting for. Or maybe you think about some of your coworkers, and you'd be like, they're worth fighting for. Others of you think, no, some of my coworkers are worth fighting against, okay? But hopefully you'll find yourself that you go, man, there's some people in my life that are simply worth fighting for. And I want to challenge us to fight today. That we're in this series, we're calling to pack, and I want to challenge you today to fight like a wolf. And when I say that, my first thought goes back to Teddy Roosevelt. If you were here 2 weeks ago, we kind of started this series with a quote of his, that it was when he was battling at San Juan Hill, that he was crossing over a barbed wire, and as he crossed over it, when going onto the battlefield, he said that like a wolf rose up inside of him, like there's something took over, and he was like, I've got to fight right now. And it was the people on his right and the people on his left and the country that he was fighting for. He's like, I got to fight for these. I found something worth fighting for. So the wolf rose up inside of him and he took off and he fought for his pack. That's what he did. And now Teddy Roosevelt, he likes to fight, okay? And he's got some great quotes on fighting. I found this one. I absolutely love it. This is what Teddy Roosevelt said. He said, do not get into a fight if you can possibly avoid it. If you get in one, see it through. Don't hit if it's honorably possible to avoid hitting, but never hit soft. Don't hit at all if you can help it. Don't hit a man if you can possibly avoid it. But if you hit him, put him to sleep. Put him to sleep. You know what I mean? Like, give a knockout blow, all right? And I'm going to talk about that today. Now, not in the sense of putting up our fists. That's not really what I'm leaning into today. But I am saying this, that you have people to your right and to your left that are worth fighting for. You have a church that you are a part of that is worth fighting for. You have a community that is worth fighting for. And when I say community, I mean all the people in our community that are worth fighting for. And Satan is trying to destroy you, to destroy your family, to destroy us. And he's worth fighting against because I want you to put him to sleep. And if we're going to do that, we got to fight. We got to fight. We got to fight because your pack matters. And there's a lot of you dads in here. And I'm going to speak real specific to you dads. You're going to hear it throughout different illustrations and different times. I'm bringing it back as a dad thinking about, man, how do I fight for my kids? As a husband, how do I fight for my wife? That is a message really tailored to you, but I want you to understand that what I'm going to say is universal. Like, I'm just going to be pulling out of Acts chapter 4 and reading from Acts chapter 4. So if you're a teenage young man, it applies to you. If you're a young woman, it applies to you. If you're a mom, it applies to you. If you're a senior citizen, it applies to you. Like, it'll apply to everybody because the truths are universal. But with it being Father's Day and being as a dad, you're going to see real, real simple how this can fit into your life. Because you have a pack that is worth fighting for. So I want you to fight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you four very simple principles, all right? And here's my challenge to you. Write them down. Pull out your phone, take notes, and write these four principles down. That hold on to them. Because I don't want it just to be a thing where, yeah, we came to church, we hung out for a little while, and then we left, and now we're on to our barbecues, we're on to the rest of our day, and we forget what it was about. Because what I want us to do is remember that we're going to fight. And there's going to come a point where you're going to be faced with the fact that, man, I got to be fighting right now for my family. And I want you to remember these four things. And the first one is simply this. It's just real simple. Fight for your pack by giving them Jesus. It's real simple. All right, like I said, I mean, it's not earth-shattering stuff I'm going to share with you today, but it is stuff that if you'll grab a hold of can absolutely help you fight for your pack and protect your pack. So the first one is simply this. Fight by giving them Jesus. That our number one thing we should be trying to do for the people in our lives, for the family in our lives, for the friends in our lives, for the community that we're in, is giving people Jesus. And I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 4 to explain this. And if you're new with us, just know that for the last couple of weeks, we've been walking through the book of Acts, and we're now in chapter 4. I'm going to go back to chapter 3 a little bit, hit a little bit of chapter 5 today, but primarily be in chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, it's verse 8. It reads like this. Peter and John, they had been arrested, okay? And they're on trial. And when they're on trial, they get asked a question, and this is how Peter replies. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, all right, meaning the people in charge, that's who he's talking to right now, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? And he goes on to say this, verse 10. He says, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That Peter is standing up in front of the leaders at this time, and he's saying, if you want to know how this man was healed, well, he was healed because I gave him Jesus. Now, let me back up and tell you the story, because the story is important to catch. Because in the story, you see how he gave him Jesus. It's actually back to Acts chapter 3, and I'll just tell you the story. And this is the same story by chance. If you have kids in Kids Rock, they're reading and learning this story today. That in Acts chapter 3, it says that, and starting in verse 1, that Peter and John, that they were headed to the temple at the time of prayer, which would have been about 3 in the afternoon. And they went to the temple at 3 in the afternoon, one to pray, but also because they knew there was people there. And they knew that their job was to give people Jesus. So they go at 3 o'clock because they know a crowd will be gathered around. And as they're going towards the temple, they pass by what's called the beautiful gate. And as they're passing by the beautiful gate, there's a guy laying there who's been lame all of his life. His legs don't work. And the guy looked up at him and said, hey, can I have some money? And then Peter looked back at him. First principle on how you give people Jesus is notice the people around you, listen to them, and look for them. I mean, that's the first step. is that you've got to recognize the people around you. And that'll be the people in your pack first. That's the people closest to you. That's the people to your right and to your left. But then it's the people you work with. It's people in your community. Start noticing people, listening to what they say, looking for them. That's what Peter and John did. This guy looked at him and said, hey, can we have some money? And Peter looked back at him and said, hey, look at us. Well, the guy's excited at this point because he's like, oh, I'm going to get some money. And Peter says, money, gold, I do not have for you. But what I have, I give you. Now let me pause right there. That what Peter is saying is, I'm going to give you what I've got. What is it that you have that you're giving to the people of your pack? Let me wrestle with that for a second. What is it that you have that you're giving to the people of your pack? Or maybe I should ask it this way. What do you have that is of worth that you are giving to the people of your pack? Because sometimes we're giving the people of our pack things that aren't very worthwhile, right? You come in from work, you've had a long day, first time you see the kids, and what you give is not worth giving, right? You understand what I'm saying? Like, I get it. We've all had tough days. We've all had days where we go home, we don't want to have to deal with it, but you get home and what we give isn't worth giving. I want to challenge us to give what is truly worth giving. And the thing that is truly worth giving is giving our kids and the other people of our pack Jesus. Because that's what Peter says. He says, hey, look at me. I don't have money. I don't have gold. But what I have, I'll give you. And what he gave them was Jesus Christ. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And again, it takes you back to this point. That people of your pack will ask you for things that they want. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we have to give the people of our pack what they need, not simply what they want. And what the people of our pack need more than anything is Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter and John recognized. Because what the guy wanted was money. What the guy needed was Jesus. What people around you, they might want something, but what they need is Jesus. So the first principle on how to fight for the people in your pack is to simply give them Jesus. But then there's a second principle. Second principle is this. If you want to fight for the people of your pack, don't just give them Jesus, but give them Jesus because you've been with Jesus. That's the second principle. Give them Jesus because you've been with Jesus. If you want to fight for your pack, then you have to be with Jesus. Because if you're not with Jesus, you don't have anything worth giving. You won't have anything stored up. You won't have anything inside of you that is truly worth it. All right? So we've got to make sure that we're being with Jesus, because when we're with Jesus, that's where power comes from. I love the next part of the verse. You'll see it. It's up there. It's verse 13. It says this. The members of the council. So Peter and John said, we healed this guy through the powerful name of Jesus. All right. And then it says this, that the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures, that they were ordinary men. Like, they're looking at these guys and they're saying, look, they're doing extraordinary things. Like, they just helped this man walk, and they're out there teaching, and they're helping people understand the scriptures, and they're just ordinary men. How can these ordinary men do extraordinary things? They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. You want to do some extraordinary things in your life? Then be with Jesus. You want to give the people of your pack something worth getting, something worth having? Then allow it to come from the power that you have spent by being with Jesus. And I know some people say this, like I can't give people Jesus. I'm not trained in it. I don't know how to do it. Neither were these men. They were common men. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were zealots. But they had been with Jesus. And when you'll actually spend time with Jesus, he'll give you the power to obey him and to speak on behalf of him. He'll give you the power to obey him, and he'll give you the power to move on behalf of him. And if we're going to fight for people, well, then that's what we have. Because if we don't walk in obedience to God, well, then there's no way you can really fight for God. There's no way you can really fight for your pack. Because if your life is out of rhythm, if your life is out of obedience with God, then your life's going to be a mess. No one wants to say amen to that one. You're with me? Like, right? Like we've all been there. We've all disobeyed God. We've all messed up. And you know when you do that, there's some serious consequences that come into your life. That your life just gets into a mess. But when we'll actually walk with obedience, we can actually point people towards Christ. When we walk with obedience, we'll have the boldness to do it. Let me explain this by turning back to the scripture. That these guys, that they were recognized that they had been with Jesus. And then the next couple of verses say that the religious leaders looked back at him and said, okay, well, we're going to release you. We're going to let you go. We're not going to hold you in jail or kill you. But you're never allowed to talk about Jesus again. Like, you can never mention his name. And then in verse 19, this is what Peter says. I love the way he says it. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Like, think about what's going on. Like, here's these two dudes, and they're standing in front of the religious leaders and rulers of the land, and they're being told, you can't talk about Christ. You can't ever mention the name of Jesus again. And I can imagine them looking at him saying, okay, so you're saying I can't ever mention the name of Jesus again. You don't want me to ever talk about him again. Yet, the guy you're saying I'm not allowed to talk about, you do know that he brought Lazarus back from the dead. Like, you know, this guy, like, he walked on water. This guy, he made the storm stand still. This guy, he raised a widow's son back to life. This guy, he raised a ruler's daughter back to life. Like, this Jesus, he raised his own life back from the dead. And now that Jesus guy who you say I'm not allowed to talk about anymore, he's actually sitting in an authority position at the right hand of the Father. And his very last words to me before he left earth was, go into the world and tell people about me. So you're sitting on your seat, but Jesus is sitting on the seat next to the Father, and you're saying I should listen to you over him? Sorry, we can't stop talking about everything we have seen and heard. They walked in obedience because they said, we are going to say and do what the Lord told us to do. And I want to challenge you with that, because so many times we shrink back. So many times, like, I don't know if I can say that about Christ. I don't know if I can tell this person about Christ. I don't know if I can speak into this situation. But if we'll actually hang out with Jesus, and we'll spend time with Jesus, and we'll see Jesus, and we'll hear Jesus through his word, then we'll say, man, there's no way I can't. And the best way for you to fight for your pack is to give them Jesus, because you've been with Jesus. Let me go on to the third one. You want to fight for your pack? Here's the third thing you do. You pray to Jesus. Again, I said these are pretty simple, all right? But these will truly help you fight for your pack. It's I've got to give people Jesus because I've been with Jesus, and therefore I'm going to pray to Jesus. I'm going to pray that God will do something special. Again, going back to the story, eventually they released them. They let them out of jail. And then they came back to the other disciples. And when they got there, they had a prayer meeting. Let's just read it and it'll explain it. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priest and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Oh, sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. I mean, think about this for a second. Let me pause here and just talk about this for a second. That these guys, they've heard from Christ. They've heard Jesus say, go into the world. And while they're thinking about doing that, they finally go and then it unravels. Like the first time they go out, it unravels. that all of a sudden they find themselves in jail. It would have been so easy for Peter and John to go, okay, well, maybe Jesus isn't sitting at the right hand. Maybe Jesus isn't with the Father. Maybe the Father's not in charge. Maybe we should shrink back. I don't know what we should do. But I love what they did. They just prayed. And when they prayed, their prayer started, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. Creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. What they're saying is, God, we trust you. Like, God, we're in the middle of a fight, and we've got people all around us that are coming after us, and they're trying to attack, and they're throwing us in jail, and maybe they're going to crucify us, and maybe they're going to beat us just like they did you. But God, you're in charge, so I'm going to keep fighting. And listen, there's going to come things into your life. There's going to come attacks on your pack. There's going to come attacks on our pack. And when we get attacked as a dad, as a family, as a friend, or maybe as a church, whatever your situation might be, there's two different directions you can go. Forward to the Father or backwards to where you don't belong. Which way are you going to go? Am I going to trust that God is still in charge and say, all right, we in the midst of a battle. We in the midst of the fight, but I care so much about the people to my right and the people to my left, the people who live under my roof, the people who live down my street, the people who live in my neighborhood, who live in my community. I'm going to fight by praying. And here's what you pray, that people will get Jesus and see Jesus. That's it. Because listen, the world isn't going to get better just if we keep living. The world's going to get better. Your pack's going to be protected when we get Jesus. All right, that's what it comes down to. Because Jesus is the one who changes hearts. Jesus is the one who changes lives. Jesus is the one who changes us. I'll just tell you this. If I'm a father without Jesus, I suck. Thank you. It's true. Thank you, Keith. Because I know what my life would be like without Jesus. I know what my life was like without Jesus. And it would have been a horrible father. And I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I'm a whole lot better at it with Jesus than I am without him. That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. But I got to go back to the prayer. On to the next verse. It says this, and now, O Lord, hear their threats. And give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Here's what he's saying. Here's what the prayer is. All right. If we're not careful, we'll get lost in this miraculous signs and wonders. Like, what? How's that happening? Here's all they're praying. They're praying, God, help us to talk about you and help people to see you. That's what their prayer is. And we can pray that same way. We can pray, Lord, help my pack to hear about you and to see you. Help my pack to know you and to experience you. Man, that's what I want for my kids. It's what I want for my family. It's what I want for you. And I believe it's what probably most of you want as well. So start praying that way. God, I trust you. Help my pack to know you and to see you. And the fourth thing. Here's the fourth way you fight for your pack. That you give to Jesus. That I fight for my pack by giving Jesus to the people in my pack. By being with Jesus. By praying to Jesus. And by giving to Jesus. That when you give to God, what you are doing is you are fighting for your pack. And that might mean you're fighting for your family. It might be when you give, you're fighting for your spouse. You're fighting for your kids. You're fighting for other kids. Again, I said this at the beginning of the service, that this week we have had over 100 high schoolers go to camp, and we've got over 80 middle schoolers going to camp, all right? That's happening because many of you all are giving. Like, we're able to do camp because you financially give, that you give of your time, of you give of your talents to make camp happen. So by giving, you're literally taking care of a kid. I was working with a business owner this week. I had a need, and I called him. He said, oh, yeah, I can jump in and help. And I said, oh, no, you've done enough. I'll do the rest. He goes, no, I got to go. I said, dude, you've got jobs to be done. You got to work to be done. And this is a guy that owns his own company. And he looked at me. He said, what's more important than me helping to give a child Jesus? There was nothing I could say. I said, you win. I hopped in his truck and we went down to Garden City together. When you give to Jesus, go back to the scripture. Again, it's Acts chapter 4. Reads like this. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. Go on to the next one. Verse 32. Yeah. All the believers were united in heart and mind. And they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There was no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. That people, they basically just said, we're selling it all. Like, we want to give to Jesus. They weren't given to the apostles. They were given to Jesus, and the apostles were distributing it to anyone who was in need. Because the apostles were saying, let's take care of the pack. So when you give to Jesus, what you do is you provide for the pack. That's what you do. And you can give to Jesus generously, or you can give grossly. Like we actually see in this chapter and the next chapter how some gave generously and some gave grossly. There was a guy named Barnabas that he sold a piece of land and he gave it all to the Lord. He came to the apostles and he laid 100% of the sale price in front of the apostles. He said, here, it's all. I just want to give it all. And then that was a ripple effect and other people were given. And then there was another couple, we find out about this in chapter 5, named Ananias and Sapphira. That they said, well, we want to give, but instead of giving generously, they gave grossly because they sold their land as well. And then they decided, well, let's give 50% of it to the Lord. And then they came and they put it at the apostles' feet. And you might go, whoa, 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 whoa. Sounds to me like giving 50% of your income or your sale price or whatever, that sounds kind of generous. And if that's where it's at, let me make sure I say this. If any of you want to give 50% of your income to the Lord through the rock, we'll gladly accept it. Gladly. As long as you don't lie to God about it. Because here's where the problem was. Some of you don't know the story. Here's where the problem was. That they laid it at the apostles' feet and they said, we want to give you 100% of what we sold our land for. Peter recognized immediately, said, you're not lying to me. You're lying to God. And when we lie to God, that's gross, right? That's gross. And they suffered some severe consequences because of it. Go to Acts chapter 5, read the whole story. And what I want to challenge all of us to do is not to give in a gross way, give in a genuine way. Don't give in a gross way. Give in a genuine way as you give generously. Because when you give generously to God, you're providing for the pack. When you give generously to God, you're fighting for the pack. So fight for the pack by giving to Jesus. By praying to Jesus, by being with Jesus, so that others will get Jesus. And, you know, we see all this in this story, but we can also see this in the Father story. And I want to talk about that more as we move into a time of response. That as we go into this time of response, here's what I want you to catch. That everything I have shared with you is what we see in God, the Father, and how he fought for the pack. Because God the Father, he fought for the pack when he gave us Jesus. Now that Jesus, his son, was in heaven and he said, my pack is in the middle of a battle and they're losing right now. So I'm going to fight for my pack. I'm going to fight for my people because I want everybody to be a part of the pack. I want to bring everybody in. So he fought in the way that he sent Jesus to this earth. He gave us Jesus. But he didn't just give us Jesus. Jesus came and was with us. I mean, think about Jesus for a second. He didn't just come and die real quick. No, he came and he was with us. He said, I want to be with you right now. And he was with the religious leaders. He went to Nicodemus. He went to Joseph of Arimathea. And he witnessed to them. And he did life with them. And he helped them come to an understanding of the truth. He went to the prostitutes. He went to the tax collectors. He went to the outcasts. And he said, I want to be with you because I want you to know the truth. That Jesus came because the Father gave him, but he was also with us. And then when he was with us, he prayed for us. John 17, it talks about how Jesus prayed for the pack. The longest prayer of Jesus we have recorded. And you know what it was all about? I pray that you'll protect the pack. I pray that you'll unify the pack. I pray that the pack will be one. One, that there'll be a pack. And he prayed. And when he was on the cross, he prayed for the pack. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He prayed for the pack when he looked at John and he looked at his mom, Mary. He said, John, this is now your mother. Like, I want you to be together. I want you to take care of one another. I need you to be a family. Basically, he's looking at John and he's saying, I'm about to leave. I need you to take care of my mother. I need you to take care of my pack because you're in my pack. And then it didn't stop there. See, he gave generously to the Father. Because Jesus sat in the garden and he prayed. And as he's praying, sweats like drops of blood were falling to the ground. And he's like, man, I don't want to go to the cross, but I'm willing to go to the cross for you, Father. I'm going to give of my life generously. And he went to the cross and he hung there. And while he was hanging there, he was in the middle of a fight. A fight for you, a fight for me. He was fighting for us as a pack. He fought and he fought and Satan beat him. Satan punched him and Satan killed him. But it was in the ground while he was in the ground, while he's buried on the third day. He said, Satan, you've thrown a lot of punches, but I'm not down and I'm not out. And what Jesus did is with one giant uppercut, he put Satan to sleep. Because he fought to the end for the pack, for me, and for you. So my challenge today is follow in his footsteps. And in the same way that Jesus fought for the pack and the Peter and John fought for the pack, you fight for your pack. Fight for your pack. Maybe during this time of communion, there's communion up front, you can come up with your family and fight for your pack. Maybe you go over to the prayer corner and you pray. Maybe just right there in your seat, you just grab your pack, those who are to your right and your left, and just pray with them. Just pray that they know Jesus and that they see Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you feel like you're outside of the pack. Let me make sure you hear this, that Jesus wants all to come into the pack. He says, I want you to be a part. And then when you start to spend time with him, you'll learn to walk in obedience. You'll learn the ways of the pack leader, the Alpha. And we'll talk a lot more about that next week. But maybe today you don't know Jesus as your Savior. We want to invite you to this pack. We want you to invite you to come into relationship with him. And you can say a prayer, but we always say, don't just pray, Jesus, forgive me. That's a prayer you pray. But we want you to go public with that. Go public by coming to the Connect Corner and talking to somebody about that. Go public by taking a step of baptism. Let's do whatever we need to do right now. Because here's the bottom line. The Father is fighting for you. So join him and fight for your pack rather than fighting against your father.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.